This oral history is brought to you with the support of Guttman students and staff and funded by the American Council of Learned Societies and the Mellon Foundation. Enjoy.
My name is Isael Perez, and I am interviewing Ariela Garcia in Upper Manhattan, Washington Heights on May 17, 2022. Do you give me permission to record and make public of this oral history presentation?
Yes, I do.
Please be mindful that you don't have to answer any other questions that make you uncomfortable. We will start with your name.
Ariela Garcia.
What is your age?
31.
What is your occupation?
I work for a health insurance company.
What is your neighborhood?
So currently, my neighborhood is in Jersey, but I just moved recently. But my original neighborhood is Washington Heights.
What is your place of origin?
Dominican Republic.
What is your ethnicity?
A Latina.
First language?
Spanish.
Gender identification?
Female.
And your sexual orientation?
Straight.
Are you and your family from New York City? If not, tell me how you and your family ended up in New York City.
So we are from the Dominican Republic. I came here when I was 8 to live with my mother. And I came here because for a better education.
Good. How do you get around in the city?
So I moved to Jersey, so over there is my car. But since I work in New York, specifically in Manhattan, when I come here, I don't drive because parking. But when I get around, before and now, I mostly use the train or the bus.
Okay. Would you please describe your experience with the transportation system in New York City?
I mean, what can I tell you? I think we all know that transportation in New York, the system, it's a headache. But it gets me to where I need to be. I never had any issues. I always keep to myself. When I was younger, I used to take it every day to go to high school. So far, no issues. And I have had a good experience with it.
Have you felt safe in the New York City public transportation system?
Yes and no. I mean, before, when I was younger and I used to take it to go to high school, I felt safer. I think now it's more of like being aware of your surroundings and making sure that you don't have your headphones on so you can listen to anything if something happens, that you know who you sit next to. It's kind of like if I know where I'm going and I know the trains that I'm taking, I know nothing's going to happen because usually those trains are safe. But when I go to a new place, like I have to take a new train or go to a new stop, I don't usually feel safe. And I can tell you that I was on the train when the attack happened in Brooklyn a month ago. And when I was going to the office, I went to the office and I found out at the office that was happening. But then I was a little bit scared. So I decided not to stay in the office for long. So I went, back uptown and I was taking the train and I didn't see any cops or any police. And I'm like, wait, but we just had an attack on the train. So at that point, I'm like, okay, yeah, it's not safe anymore. And the things that are happening now, sometimes I feel safe, sometimes I don't.
Thank you for sharing your personal opinion and a story. Do you have any other wild stories from being on the public transportation system?
So when I was younger, I was in high school. I used to take the train every Saturday to go to Brooklyn to go to my cousin's hair salon to get my hair done for free. I took the A train one time, and I remember I was going to get off on West 4th Street because I was going to take the F to Brooklyn. Where this guy just out of nowhere started screaming at me right on my face. And I'm like, what is going on? And all I remember is that there was a guy next to me who just grabbed my hand and like pushed me out of the train because he felt that I was going to be more safe if I was on the platform, not on the train, because there was this guy in front of us who was screaming at me for no reason. And he was screaming at other people. And I think he felt, because when he started screaming, I looked at him, and that's when I think he just noticed me, and that he just came to me and started screaming at me. And I think the other guy was kind of being safe and just kind of grabbed my hand and pushed me out of the train into the platform. And I thank him for that, because I don't know what the other guy was going to do. So now I don't look at anybody when they're screaming on the train. I just look straight down. My head and my face is not going up. So that was my only wild story in the train. Nothing else has happened where I don't take it often. I only take it when I go to the office. And I already know my route and everything, so I don't have anything. I've seen crazy stuff, but not that it happened to me.
I can relate to that. Carrying on, do you feel safe in your community?
In here in Washington Heights, not anymore. There is a lot going on now in New York. You see a lot more people that you didn't used to see before. I can tell you that before, I could go outside at any time and be okay. But now, I think whenever I like stay here in Washington Heights in my mother's house, I don't feel safe. I don't go out. I'd rather just order in. If I need to order anything, or if I need to go out, I'd rather go with someone, because it's not safe. I don't know if you have the Citizen app, but every time it rings, and when I'm in Washington Heights, it tells me that something is happening here. So no, I do not feel safe anymore in this community.
What would or does make your community safe in a way?
So I know that we are trying to help people that have issues with drugs. And now we have these safe places where they can go and get drugs and safely take them. I think that has corrupted this neighborhood, because we've seen a lot more people who come here for that and then they just stay. I also think that the government needs to help the homeless, not just give them a place to live, but kind of like a plan for them to kind of get back on their feet. Because if you just give them a place to leave, to sleep, you know, they have to leave in the morning and they come back in the night. During that time is when they do whatever. So I feel like the government definitely needs to set that up correctly. And those places where they can get safely drug, that should definitely be rethink, and they shouldn't have that so close to schools, because around here there's like 4 schools, and then this thing is like in 180th. So I think definitely not having that will help a lot, but also helping those people, putting them in like hospitals where they need to be, as well as getting the homeless a plan for them to get back on their feet, not just a bed for them to sleep.
You have very good points of view. Very good points. How does the law enforcement fit into your vision of safety in New York City?
I mean, I have a soft spot when it comes to law enforcement, because of something happened when I was little, and they helped. But I think that they need to be trained better on how to deal with people, especially people of color, people with mental health. Not just to think about, oh, you know, I'm gonna shoot because I see you with a knife or whatever. I think in order for this community to get better, they need to be better trained, and they need to relate more to the community in order to understand their pain and to understand what's going on in the neighborhood.
Agreed. How does your concern for safety in your community shift how that community functions?
I think it changes a lot. I mean, I noticed that Like, for example, the stores are closing earlier. Some people don't go out because of how unsafe it is. So it's not functioning like it should be. It limits people when there is so many concerns about safety.
That's very true. I see that myself. What is it like living in a city that has people from all over the world?
Oh, I love that. I think that's the best part about New York. That we're so diverse and that you can meet people from all over the world and learn from them. So I think that's one of the best, if not the best quality of New York City.
Have you ever benefited from New York City's diversity?
Oh, yeah. I think everybody has at some point. It is. You learned about other people's cultures. You form friendships. You learn other languages. So it definitely has benefited me at work, in school. Raising my daughter has helped because I could teach her about diversity. So it has been very beneficial.
Would you consider New York City generally and your neighborhood specifically to be racially separated?
You mean that it's not that diverse? No, I think Washington Heights is very diverse. I think it's predominantly Dominicans, but now you see people from all over the place. You see Jewish, Italians, Chinese, Korean, different Latin American countries live in this neighborhood. So I think this part of Manhattan is very diverse.
That's very true. There's been definitely some gender identification going on. What has been your experience with New York City's public education system as a student, parent, and or observer?
As a student, elementary school wasn't what I thought it would be. I think coming from the Dominican Republic and doing school for a few years there and then coming here, it was kind of a change because here you have kind of more freedom. Even though the days are longer here, I feel like over there you learn more, even, you know, if the days are shorter. But there was a lot of freedom when it comes to school. And, you know, if I was in a class where the kids would be screaming at the teacher, and I'm like, what is going on? But when I went to high school, I went to a new high school, kind of like a charter school kind of high school, where everybody communicated great and everybody was, you know, very aware of each other and the teachers, and they knew your parents like they were best friends. So that was a really good change for me. When I went to college, I went to BMCC, and then I went to City College. Again, it was more of like, it was very diverse. There's a lot of people, and it was a good education. When it comes to me as a parent, having my daughter in a charter school like TEP, the Equity school, there is a lot of communications with the teacher, so that's what I like. I think it's a very unique school. I don't know if I will feel the same about having her in a regular public school, just because I see how kids struggle, and I see my friends and their kids, and I'm like, then you might need to change schools because it's not really working for their kids to go to public school. So I had a different experience because I went to a charter high school, and then my daughter's in a charter school. So it's a lot different than when I went to elementary school.
I agree with that. That's definitely a very crucial point in education systems in New York City and all over the place. Can I ask you another question?
Mm-hmm.
Since you told me that you like the fact that your daughter is in a charter school, would you also like for her to learn about the culture of the Dominican Republic? For example, more specifically, like the history and the, like the language and like where you want that to be carried on in the family legacy when she has children and she the her children have children. Like, do you see that, like, the Dominican / Spanish influence?
Oh yeah, definitely. I, you know, she speaks Spanish. Her Spanish is not the greatest, but I think that's because, you know, before she started school, it was a lot better. But I think, you know, she went to school, they only speak English in her class. So her Spanish is not where it's supposed to be. But she speaks Spanish to her grandparents, to us. And in school, she does learn about other cultures. I know we did a project with her where she had to talk about the Dominican Republic, where her parents were from. And she learned a lot. She knows where it is. She wants to go. So I like when they teach her about her culture and when they teach about other people, because that also gets her to be, you know, diverse. And, like, you know, she gets to learn more about other people. And that ends her having any, like, if you look at her, she looks white. My husband is, he's Dominican, but if you look at him, you're thinking he's white. So her skin color might make it seem like she'll have more opportunities in life, but I want her to know where she comes from and that she, you know, to be open-minded and to be that, and to know that everybody, is the same, that just because she's a little, her skin color is white, mine is a little darker, it doesn't mean anything. If she has a friend who's a little darker, you know, you're all the same. So I like that her school teaches her to be open-minded and to learn about other people and their culture and to appreciate that as well.
You will be doing a great, you're doing a great job raising Camila. Okay, following question. Have you experienced segregation either in one ethnic group or having an ethnic group missing in a school system?
No, not at all. I think New York City schools are very diverse. Where, you know, you have a very large group of Hispanics, Latinos, and then you have a small group of, like, Asians, you know, Chinese, Korean, and then you have, like, a few whites, and then you also have, like, a large group of African Americans. So that was always my school experience. Even, like, going to elementary school in Washington Heights, it was very diverse. We had people from all over the place. So, no segregation at all.
Okay. What are some personality traits of New Yorkers?
Oh, man. personality traits. I think it just depends on the person. I think some are loud, some are... You can say that New Yorkers are, like, a little bit antisocial. Unless it's, like, a New Yorker. A little bit problematic at times. But again, that just depends on the person. I think if you're from New York, you have to be tough, because, you know, people think of New York, tough people. We have got, as a city and as a state, we have been through a lot. So, I mean, loud. A New Yorker is... It's a, like, I don't think there is personality traits for a New Yorker. I mean, like, I think New Yorker is a personality trait. That tells you, like, if you tell anybody, oh, what's that person's personality? You'd be like, oh, they're from New York. Then you don't have to tell them anything else because they know how that person is. I, on the other hand, even though I was, you know, I have spent more time in New York than in any other place, even though I was born in the Dominican Republic, you can say I'm a true New Yorker because I've been here longer than I have been anywhere else. I'm not loud. I'm very calm and collected. So it's when I tell people, oh, you know, where are you from? And I'm like, oh no, I'm, you know, I was born in DR, but I'm from New York because I lived there my entire life. And they're like, you don't sound like a New Yorker, or your personality. Because I think when you say New Yorker, you're like, oh, this person is tough, loud, not friendly, Well, we are friendly. It's just, it's our way of being friendly.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. It's a personality itself. Following question. How do you alter your social interaction to survive and thrive in the city?
I mean, I think everybody does that. I think that, you know, when I don't think I behave the same way I behave with my family, when I'm at work, it's different because it's a professional listen to it. I mean, when you're at work, you have to be professional. Even though, like I said before, I'm very calm and collected, so I'm always like that. Some people think I'm shy or quiet, but it's just that. That's just the way I am. But I think everybody at some point would change their personality or alter their personality because of where they at that moment. And because of the social interaction, I'm definitely not going to be, you know, like, oh, what's up? Hey, hello. Will I be able-? Like, at work, I'm going to be a little more professional. So it helps get by. It definitely helps.
Okay. Following question. How well do you know your neighborhood and the people in your community?
Oh, how well do I know my neighbors? I can tell you this, right? I moved to Jersey. I have seen my neighbors probably once or twice, and I've been there for a long time now. But New York, here where I grew up in this building where I live with my parents, I pretty much know everybody that was here since I was small, since I was 8, that still lives here. Even when, like, you go to a restaurant here, I still know the people because it's usually the same person. It is very different, I can tell you, because I can tell you that I know more people from New York than I know from where I live now. Because I think this is more of a close kind of community in New York, because you get to see, you not only is that you see them every day, but, you know, you help them bring their groceries up, or if they need help translating, or if they need help filling out an application. I was kind of that person, so I know my neighbors pretty well.
What public support system have you experienced in your community?
Support systems. No, I haven't experienced any.
Are there others you know about that aren't available to your community?
No.
Okay. What does good housing mean to you in terms of neighborhood, space in the apartment, like stuff like that, like public space in the area, food in the area, safety, transportation?
So good housing means to me a safe neighborhood, somewhere that you can go outside and you're not, you know, you're not have to like be scared that someone's gonna either rob you or something's gonna happen to you. Space in the apartment, I mean, I think we know how New York City apartments are. Public spaces, I mean, a good neighborhood and a good housing has to have a park or some kind of recreation facility where children can go and play and be safe. Again, safety is number one for me, somewhere that you can go out and not be scared that something might happen to you. When it comes to transportation, a good, reliable, safe transportation. And then also places where people can go and learn about their identity and learn about other people's diversity. That also would be a good part of a good housing.
Okay. Have you ever been worried about not being able to afford the rent?
No.
What has been the impact of gentrification and community dislocation on your neighborhood?
I feel like this neighborhood has not gone through that, to gentrification or any of that. I mean, I think it's still pretty much Dominicans, Latin Americans. And it still looks the same from when I moved here back in like 2002.
Okay. How do you feel about the homelessness crisis in New York City? I know you mentioned it, but can you elaborate? What do you see as the cause, and what should society and the government do to curb the crisis?
It's a big problem. I think it always has been a problem, but now it's a lot worse because a lot of people lost their jobs. A lot of people have, you know, lost their job and they don't have a place. A lot of people lost their homes. So I think now it's a lot worse. I think it's leading for people to go into the wrong directions, like using drugs. I think it's getting to the point where it's like a crisis that New York City cannot handle. I mean, I think they need to have more programs for people to not lose their homes, to get certified in some kind of job, as well as try to not just find them a bed to sleep at, but kind of set a plan for them so they can get out of their situation that they're in. Because if you find someone a bed, they know they're always going to have that bed. And they're not going to do much. So going above that would definitely help.
Agreed. Okay. Following question. How do you feel about the BLM protest? The Black Lives Movement protest? Black Lives Matter. Sorry.
I think everybody has the right to protest for a good cause. And I think this is a great cause to go for, because a lot of our African-American brothers are getting killed, not only African-Americans, Latinos as well are getting killed for no reason when it comes to the police. So I have a lot of respect for them. I think it's a great cause, and it's definitely, even though we don't see it, it definitely is changing the system little by little, because I think it's going to take a lot for the system to change. But I'm a supporter of it.
Explain to me why you think these anti-racist protests erupted particularly strongly in New York City.
I think the events, things that happened, you know, George Floyd, all of that stuff, that the people that had been killed. And New York, has a large community of African Americans. It's not even African Americans. We are a good city where, you know, we fight for one another. So seeing all these injustices, even though they weren't directly in New York City, we wanted to get out there and show our support and protest and make a difference, because even though it might not be in the news, it happens in New York all the time.
What do you think activated protest Black Americans and non-Black allies to challenge the structural racism in the United States?
I'm confused.
what you think happened? Like, what action happened?
So the again, George Floyd, Eric Garner, all those deaths that happened just because, you know, someone was not trained properly, and, you know, lives changed because of it. So all of that happened, and then also, you know, what's happening in New York City, where you get stopped and, you know, and frisked for just walking and being Black. So I think all of that and all the events that led to it activated New York and activated the country as well.
Totally agree. Do you have any stories you're willing to share about encounters you have had with racism?
No, I don't have any.
Have you had negative encounters with the police?
No, not at all. I do have a soft spot because they did save me when I was small, but I never had a negative experience with them.
Have you learned about an experience of someone close to you that you didn't know before?
No.
How has your opinion on the NYB changed over time? or it hasn't?
It has and it hasn't. I mean, I feel like there is some good NYPD out there who are willing to save the community, serve and help us and make us safe. But then there's are some bad apples who are not properly trained or are not meant to be or not mentally capable of being a NYPD. So I can tell you that whenever I see these videos of things that like the George Floyd and the Eric Garner, it gets me really upset because I'm like, we could do a lot better, and you are here to protect and serve the community, but you're not doing it when you, you know, decide to put your knee in top of someone's neck. So I mean, I think there are some good cops out there, but I definitely think we have a lot of bad apples, and definitely my opinion changes every time I see a story like that, because it gets me really upset. Because I know there is good ones, but you know, we see them as a whole because of what's happening now.
How about the way racism and policing is covered in the media?
I don't really watch TV. I try to stay away just because there's a lot happening daily, and it's a lot for someone's mental health. But I think, you know, whenever something happens, the media is very good at showing exactly what happened between this cop and a civilian. So some portray them as heroes, some portray them as, you know, the worst kind of people because of what's happening at the moment.
I get that. Do you think any changes should be made with the way that NYPD operates given the events of the last 2 years?
Definitely. I think they should definitely
What kind of changes?
Have more training when it comes to mental health. The way people handle when they're called, the way the cops are handle when they call for a mental health crisis. I think that before they're even trained to handle a gun, they need to be trained, you know, check their mental health and be trained on how to deal with people and how every situation is different.
Were you active in the protests at all, in digital or in person, way over the last 2 years?
So not in person, because, you know, we were in a pandemic. I have a child. My immune system is not the greatest to be out there, but I was posting on Facebook, Instagram. I was reposting. I was making sure I was reading what I was reposting. I was donating, sharing information about events.
Okay. Are there any memorable experience from your activism that you were willing to share?
Just getting to know people from all over the world, and hearing their opinions and how this has affected them.
Okay. We're changing the topic again.
Okay.
How has your life changed financially since COVID-19?
Not much. I mean, not at all. I think I was very fortunate that my company is a very stable company. And, you know, it was health insurance, so we were actually making money. And in the same time, we were helping our communities. So it didn't change at all. I think it gave me more of a sense of a stability so I can help others.
How were the working conditions at your workplace before COVID?
So I used to go to the office Monday through Friday before COVID. I went home March 17th. Of 2020, thinking that I was going to be back in like a week or so. I'm like, we're never gonna close for long, we're gonna be back. So when a year passed and we weren't back, and it was kind of like, oh my god. But everything before, I mean, we were, you know, we were in an office, there was about 20 something people, we used to see members, it was normal.
How was your workplace shifted since March 2020? You kind of previewed.
Yeah, we started working from home until almost a year. And then when we went back into the office, it was not as busy. There was a lot of restrictions. We couldn't use our kitchen. We have to wear masks. We still have to wear masks all the time when we're in the office, unless you're by yourself and you're eating. We were not allowed to let our members use the bathroom. We had to like use sanitizers. There was someone that every time we would see someone, so I don't see members, but my team does. So every time someone will come and see one of my team members, someone will clean, will come in into the office and clean the area. So it was something.
How has your life changed personally since COVID-19?
I think everybody's life has changed since, I think you know, we went inside and we were inside for 2 years. So you got to know your husband, your kids a lot more. If you were like me, you took on a hobby, which was crafting. I think everybody bought a Cricut machine at that time, and I was one of those. So it gave me a new hobby. I definitely saw a lot more TV than I used to before. But it got me closer to my family.
Good. Are there any new hobbies you've taken and old crafting. Hobbies that you've lost interest in?
So crafting was something I took during the pandemic. Something that I lost interest on is going out. I mean, I was scared and I'm still scared. I think I went back out for the first time to like a restaurant at the beginning of January of this year. And then we got COVID. So I was like, I'm never going again. Going to the movies, I lost interest on. But I can say that I went recently and it was a better experience. I was a little bit less nervous and didn't have a panic attack, which I thought I was going to. Kind of like just going to public places. It's not something that I enjoy anymore.
Okay, I understand. Have you had your relationship change with your friends, neighbors, families?
A lot closer to my family. My neighbors, it's still the same. When it comes to my friends, I think everybody just gotten to the point of like talking more, not texting. So definitely I've gotten closer to my friends more. But I haven't seen them, some of them, in so many, in like over 2 years. So that has not helped. But I can tell you that I do feel a lot more closer to my family now than before.
How has COVID-19 impacted your health and the health of your family?
So I went 2 years without getting it. And my husband and my daughter as well. And then come 2022, January, we got it. My husband was, I would say, he was sick, but it wasn't that bad. I was okay. I was sick, but I was okay. I think the mother in me kind of just said, you know, even though I don't feel well, I have to be okay for my daughter. It was worse for my daughter, my five-year-old. She was really sick for about 3 weeks to the point where, like, she lost over like 15 pounds. So it impacted her health when it came to that. But after we got over it, we were okay. I mean, I think mentally it has been worse. But physically, you know, just when we had it, it was bad.
I understand your pain. What, if any, were the benefits of your life from 2 years in quarantine?
Well, saving, because you didn't have to do transportation, no gas, no trains. It was time that I spent with my daughter and my husband. So that is definitely beneficial.
Is there anything you learned about yourself or your family?
To kind of put more emphasis on mental health and kind of take care of that part of my life more. Because, you know, we still going through a tough time. with everything that it comes to the pandemic. So that's something I learned.
Yeah, that's true. A lot of people can relate. We're finishing up. Is there anything I should have asked or anything you would like to add?
No, this was very nice.
Are you still comfortable with making this oral history public?
Yeah, that's fine. No worries.
Well, it was great interviewing you, and thank you so much for your time and for your efforts.
No, thank you for selecting me.
No problem. Thank you.